wants to go through the fire. Nobody does. And going through the fire is hard. Nobody wants to go through the fire. But I want to draw your attention to Daniel chapter 3 this evening, where there are three young men who went through the fire, and it turned out to be a great blessing to them. The Word of God makes it very clear that God's people, that's true saints of God, true children of God, are strangers and pilgrims in this world and will be seen as enemies many times in this world. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, that all they that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so a persecution mentality is not a bad thing to adopt for a lifestyle. To understand at least that resistance from an unbelieving world is not something that should be thought to be unusual. Now hold your place in Daniel chapter 3 and look with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to see a couple of verses of scripture here that deal with this subject. 1 Peter chapter 2 has been called the wilderness, or in fact, all of 1 Peter has been called the wilderness epistle, because Peter speaks many times about resistance from the world. Chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation." Look at chapter 4 with me real quickly. Chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of God, or of glory and of God, resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other man's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." And so this is a passage, a portion of scripture that teaches us that we are going to be sometimes finding ourselves in the fire, as it were, through no fault of our own. It's just because we live in a sinful world, and it's just because God's people are often maligned for taking a stand for truth and righteousness. And in Daniel chapter 3, we're going to read about three. We call them Hebrew children who faced a very difficult challenge just because they were going to be faithful and stand for the Lord. Verse 1 says, "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 80 cubits. That's 90 feet approximately, and in the breadth thereof 6 cubits, which is about 9 feet wide. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And the rest of the passage of scripture states basically those who refused to bow down at the sound of the music would be cast alive into a fiery furnace. And so this was an edict, this was a command that the king had made, and many believe this was an image that was made to himself in his likeness. And so it was a matter of extreme pride on his part, and even lifting himself up even in the place of God. And it's just interesting the way the story developed. The Bible tells us in verse 12, "There are certain Jews," and this is the report that was brought to him, "there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. And we're going to stop right there. Because I think that, first of all, the fire solidifies commitment. It solidifies commitment. When we are faced with challenges to our faith, it serves to solidify our commitment, and it did with these young men. They said, we're not even careful to answer you regarding this. We don't have to think about this for a long time. We don't have to guard our words. We don't have to make sure that we're tactful. Their answer was simply, no, we're not going to bow down to that golden image. We're not going to. And somebody might say, oh, but weren't they bound to obey the laws of the land? Not when the laws of the land are contrary to God's laws. And that's a rule that we could take with us. If the government commands you and demands that you conduct yourself in such a way that puts you in disobedience with God's law, you have the right to refuse to do that. And we still have that freedom in our country. In fact, there are still judges that are ruling in favor of those who refuse to do wedding preparations for people that they believe are not entitled to be married. They're not under God's authority, and they have rebelled against God's authority. And in pride, they're lifting themselves up to do their own thing. And it's still legal in America to stand by your convictions. If it became illegal to do that, you know what? We still should. We still ought to. Even if there was a serious price to pay, even if they said, we're going to kill you if you don't do this, it would still be right not to do it if it's a violation of God's commands. And that's the stand that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego took, and they were willing to face the ire of the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, in order to stand for the truth. And you know, it's one thing to say, I would stand for the Lord if this or that happened, and another thing to actually do it when the time comes. And we should actually put ourselves through the exercise and say, what would I do if? What would I do if? Will I still stand for Christ, or will I compromise, and will I yield, and will I give in if worse comes to worst? If I were to lose my job, for example, because of my stand for Christ, am I still willing for that to happen? If I were to be threatened with going to prison because of my stand for Christ, would I still be willing to stand for the Lord? If they threatened to take my life away, would I still stand for Christ? It's easier to say one thing than it is to do the same thing. And so the point is, don't just say it, but do it. And everybody should be prepared for that time, because it may be just around the corner for us. Somebody said, your test becomes your testimony. Your test becomes your testimony. Will you stand or not? Will you be true to the Lord, or will you bow to the pressures that you face? And some of it's not any more than just peer pressure. Peer pressure to do something that you know you ought not to do, something that would violate your convictions, but we'll go ahead and do that anyway, just because we can't take the pressure, we can't take the heat. Fire is good for us because it solidifies commitment. And it did that for these men. One lady told this story. My 2-year-old and I were walking down the street one day when suddenly she broke loose from my grasp and ran ahead of me. I rounded the corner after her, only to see her feet leave the curb and venture into the street. No sooner had my little one taken a quick stride when plop, she stumbled and fell. Later, with my daughter's bruises washed and kissed, I couldn't help wondering, what if she hadn't fallen? A car might have hit her. What we don't see while we're feeling pain is God's hidden purpose. And sometimes the very incident that we see as hurtful is God's way of protecting us from worse harm. When we realize the truth of Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, we may be able to see that there are some things that aren't so bad after all, and God used those things to strengthen us and to cause us to be better equipped to face the pressures that we face. Look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, here the word of God teaches this in verses 12 and 13. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Here the Bible says, but I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And verse 19 is where the Apostle Paul wrote, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. In other words, in the face of trials, we don't necessarily see all the purpose. And you know what? Sometimes it seems like trials last a long time. It seems that way to us, but we don't see the end. And I'm sure glad that God is greater than my understanding. I'm sure glad that God is a God of wisdom beyond my wisdom, because he knows what's best, and he's promised that all things will work together for good to those who commit their way to the Lord. And you can trust that it's going to work out for the good if you are committed to following Christ and serving him. Sometimes the fire serves to solidify our commitment. Sometimes the fire serves to beautify our communion. Go back with me to Daniel chapter 3 again, please. It beautifies our communion. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 23 and 4 and 5, the Bible says this, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonied. He was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. These youths found that the Lord was with them through the fire, and their fellowship with him was beautified by that experience. When they realized they were experiencing fire because of their taking a stand, they didn't panic. They said, God can deliver us, but we don't know for sure that he's going to. If not, we're still not going to bow down. They'd crossed that bridge a long time ago, probably, where they said, we're going to stand for truth and righteousness regardless. We're going to stand for what God's word says regardless of what anybody says. And if we suffer for it, that's just too bad. We're still going to stand. And what they learned was that the Lord went with them into the fire, and their communion with him was enhanced and beautified. I think of Isaiah chapter 43, where the Bible says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. And these promises were given to Israel, and these Jews were Israelites, but the saints have the same promise. Do you know Hebrews 13:5 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee? The Lord has promised he'll always be there. Look with me quickly in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 through 8. where the Bible states these truths, these promises. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. The Bible says here, "Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that goeth with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Don't worry about it. He said that basically the same thing to Joshua before they took the promised land in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Let me just read this verse for you. Joshua 1, 5 says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And the very next verse, 6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous," verse 7 says, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." And this is God's promise to accompany his people. Listen to this father's experience. He said that some time ago our family went to a swimming pool. I was in the deep end swimming around. My young daughter came tottering into the shallow end of the pool wearing her big orange water wings. How many of you have a pair of those water wings? Not just children, sometimes adults as well, okay? She said, "Daddy, I'm scared. I want to come where you are." I chuckled at her naivety and said to his daughter, "It's a lot deeper down here." And she said, "I don't care. I want to be where you are." "Okay, come on," I said. She began dog paddling across the pool, 3 foot, 6 foot, 8 foot deep water. When she came up to me, she grabbed my neck, and the look of panic gave way to relief. With her father there, she felt secure. It made very little difference how deep the water was. You know, it doesn't matter how deep the water is. If the Lord is there, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. As long as we are on the right side, as long as we follow him and submit to him, we don't have to be afraid. When we have trials, we experience God's presence, and that's a powerful encouragement, but it's also a precious experience. We find him faithful and sufficient to meet every need. And if you've experienced deep trials in your life, you know what I'm talking about. You know the Lord is there. And he is faithful. And when Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," you know that that's true. He's always going to be there to encourage and comfort his child. We find him faithful. We find him sufficient to meet every need, no matter how challenging the trial is or how deep the water becomes. I well remember what Dr. Alisi used to say, if I had never had any sorrow, I wouldn't know Christ as the great comforter. If I had never known weakness, I'd never know him as my strength. If I'd never been in danger, I would never know him as my protector. If I had never been heart sick, I would never know him as the great physician. If I'd never felt abandoned, I would never know him as the friend who sticketh closer than a brother. So the Lord is there. And he wants our fellowship with him to be beautified. He wants our fellowship with him to be extended. He wants us to appreciate who he is and the fact that he is present. The third thing that I see in this passage of scripture in Daniel chapter 3 is that the fire glorifies Christ. I think this is very interesting. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 26 and following, the Bible says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, the king's counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed upon them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. We said, the fire glorifies Christ. Do you know that by delivering Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace, the Lord was glorified? Nebuchadnezzar literally reversed himself. He actually reversed his decree. He said nobody should worship anybody but my image. And then he said anybody who worships any other god is in deep trouble than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so he actually completely reversed himself relative to this situation. And Christ was glorified because of it. When a child of God is delivered from some fire by divine intervention and gives God the glory, people notice, and they're affected by it, whether sometimes they are genuinely affected, sometimes they're superficially affected. Look with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 again. 1 Peter chapter 2 again. And some people are awed by some kind of an indication of things, a sign of something, and it's not real, but sometimes people are genuinely turned to the truth because God delivers his people. He is faithful, and this is one of the values of fire. I remember reading many, many times about the martyrs, people who laid down their life for the cause of Christ. And others who came to know the Lord, who were scoffers, who were mockers, who were skeptics. But when they saw the boldness and courage of those who stood for Christ, they turned to the Lord themselves. This is commonly what happens. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation. We read this verse earlier. And down to verse 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is acceptable to God. And 19 and 20 says this, For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? And it's acceptable with God, and it's acknowledged by others, and the Lord is glorified. Are you having a difficult time? Are you having a challenging time? Do you feel like you're going through the fire? Just be faithful. Just be true to the Lord. Just be true to the truth. And maintain your stand for truth and righteousness. And the Lord will bless that. He will not only perfect the saints, he will draw closer to you, and he will glorify himself in your trial. He's faithful. He's always going to be there, and he promised that. We dread and despise trials. We may even defect when they press down upon us. But trials may give us the greatest opportunities to glorify the Lord in our life. They may give us the greatest opportunity to give glory to the Lord. Look with me to Acts chapter 16. in Acts chapter 16, verse 23 and following. Here the Bible says, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. And you know what happened. God sent a great earthquake, and everybody knows, everybody who's a student of the Bible knows what happened at Philippi. The Philippian jailer got converted, and Paul and Silas sang praises to the Lord while they were chained up in the dungeon. They were going through a deep trial, and they were going through the fire. But God was glorified, and the Lord showed himself to be true and strong through that difficult time for them. Back up a little bit to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the Bible speaks again of those who paid a dear price because they stood for truth and righteousness. And in Acts 5, 41, the Bible says, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. How many of us would rejoice if we suffered shame for the name of Christ because we were counted worthy? And how many of us would bemoan ourselves and say, oh, woe is me. Why do I have to suffer like this? The apostles and the servants of the Lord there praised God that they'd been judged worthy. They'd been judged of God as people who would stand on the truth and would suffer difficulties for his name's sake. Look with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. The Bible says this, By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hopeth maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Rejoice, he says, because there's a spiritual benefit that you know will come. Do you believe that spiritual benefit comes through the fire? Do you believe that? It's okay to respond one way or the other. Do you believe that? Amen. I believe that too. I believe that. And so it remains for us to be thankful even in the midst of challenges, and rejoice in the Lord. Look at James chapter 1 with me, where the Bible actually says, count it all joy, in James 1 chapter 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You won't lack anything in your Christian experience. You'll be whole. You'll be being what God wants you to be if we'll learn to rejoice in tribulations also. Knowing this first, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Count it joy when you come into the fire, because not that you love fire. Nobody loves fire. We don't like fire. We'd like it slow and easy. We'd like it comfortable and appealing, wouldn't we? But when the fire comes, don't panic. And don't imagine that God has abandoned you. We should realize that God is faithful. He's going to be there through it all. And this is something that's predicted in his word. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be hard. But God has promised victory for those who will determine to follow him regardless. What a great lesson we learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The value of fire in their life. and how it affected themselves and how it affected other people as well. And may God use us for the same purpose. Let's pray.